talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the No Practice Podcast. This is Tenzin, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chevy. And today we figured we would go down an interesting little path, something a little different for you guys. What would happen if you were to take all the NBA players who have had relationships with the Kardashian tribe in the past and made an NBA team?
Don't fucking rude.
Are you kidding me?
I swear to God.
Stop.
Don't be fucking rude.
What are you
throw
doing?
The thing on.
How good would they be? Would they be tough to coach? Do you think they'd win a championship? Well, let's find out. Chevy, why don't you go ahead and pull a list of players up?
So we got Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin.
We got Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Chandler Parsons. Hope you're all right, buddy. He was just involved in a pretty serious car accident.
He was, so we're not going to try. We're not going to make fun of him.
Yeah. He'll be spared.
Heal up, man.
We got James Harden, Jordan Clarkson, Rashad McCants, Tristan Thompson, Lamar Odom,
yeah.
Rick Fox, Chris Jesus. Humphries.
Wow.
There's some talent on this team.
That's a serious team. Do you want to talk about which ones dated who?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Blake Griffin, I think he was with Kendall.
Yep.
She had a couple more, didn't she? It was like
Ben. Chandler. She got around.
She likes the light skins.
She likes the light skins.
The light skin queen. Yeah.
Is it awkward for these players?
Like, I feel like it must be a little weird.
Or is it like some kind of boys club? Like you've made it in the league when you fucked a Kardashian.
That's actually a good point. I think it's weird at first, but then the veterans, so to speak, the ones that have been out of it for a while, they're waiting for the new guy to like come around and be like, all right, I guess we can be friends.
Like after you fucked a Kardashian?
Yeah. You have the initial raw phase of like, this is kind of weird. But then afterwards, they're probably just like, what's up, man? Welcome to the club.
I mean, there's probably a lot of girls like that are being kind of passed around. Yeah. Amongst these NBA players. Not to sound all misogynistic and shit. You know, not to be problematic.
You dropped the M word. If we had a siren sound, this is when we'd play it.
But we don't. Because we ain't practicing shit.
Boo, 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 boo.
So we got Chandler Parsons, Ben Simmons, Blake Griffin. They all dated Kendall Jenner at some point.
Jesus Christ.
Then we got James Harden, who dated Chloe.
Which one's Chloe?
Chloe's the big one.
The tall one.
Yeah. She's still pretty fine, though. I mean,
she is. She really is.
Yeah.
She's the one that almost killed her. I think she almost killed her sisters when they were in that driving in that snowstorm in the SUV. Apparently, Chloe Kim was pregnant, and they all got into like Chevy Tahoe, and they're driving in the
Chevy
snow,
to the levee.
Chloe's big ass is in the front, like long, lanky ass. She's driving this SUV, and then this giant truck like drove by them, and they got hit by this like wall of snow that came off the truck, and they veered off the road. And Chloe was kind of just like, I think she was just laughing like nervously when Kim is in the back like freaking out. She's like, I'm carrying a child, you dumb bitch.
Oh my god! Oh
Kim,
my god.
Why are you freaking out?
We're
I didn't
fine,
do anything.
I know, but this is really scary, and we should not be driving like this.
Yeah, no big deal.
No bigs.
Wait, Jordan Clarkson was also entangled with Kendall Jenner.
Yep.
So Kendall right now is in the lead. She got four. She got four kills.
That's so bad. Yeah, it was
problematic.
Kill streak.
Then we got James Harden, who was dating Chloe. I think we just mentioned that.
Yeah.
Rashad McCants also dated Chloe.
He was on
Tristan Thompson.
Pistons. Yep.
Chloe. Lamar Odom. Chloe. Jeez. Rick Fox. Chloe. Chloe takes the lead. Edges Kendall out real quick.
I thought it was going to go to seven. It did.
Then finally, we got Chris Humphries, who was actually married to Kim for a short amount of time, I think.
Oh, so he was the only one that got married.
Yeah, he was actually married to Kim Kardashian.
Chris, what is you doing, baby?
Hey, man, that's arguably the best contract of his life.
You know?
Yeah, man was married for 72 days,
that's
which
so
is,
problematic.
I mean, less than like a fucking season. You know,
he secured the bag, man.
Secured the bag. Yeah, 100%. And they apparently broke up because Kim was cheating with Kanye at the time.
Ooh.
So the plot
thickens.
How could
you be so heartless? Damn, that's rough.
But I mean, top to bottom, we got a pretty solid list of players.
Yeah.
You know, got your stars. We got Blake Griffin, Ben Simmons, James Harden.
Yeah.
Those are definitely the stars of the team.
Yep.
Who do you think is the best player?
Definitely James Harden.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty clear in a way. James Harden is the best player on the squad.
Yeah.
But
there's some quotes though that we feel like we should talk about, right?
Yeah, there's some pretty interesting quotes.
Like James Harden had that quote. So I'm just gonna read it. This is exactly what he said. Quote unquote, I feel like it was for no other reason than to get my face out there, and I don't need that.
I believe he also said that it was the worst year of his life. Jesus. While he was entangled with Khloe Kardashian.
Rashad McCants also apparently blamed his failed NBA career on his relationship with Khloe.
And Lamar Odom almost fucking died.
The crack problem. Lamar, right. Man.
I mean, I'm not saying there's a relation there, but I mean, a lot of these players have experienced turbulation or turbulent times. Turbulation, is that a word?
It's not.
Turbulent times while they were entangled with the Kardashian bunch.
Yeah, Kardashian bunch. I like that.
Yeah, man. So, how well do you think this team would do?
I feel like maybe it's a good idea to put like a ceiling and then a floor as to how bad or good they'd be. I'm gonna use what's like a decent team right now. I'm gonna say maybe the floor is like a team like the Jazz maybe right now.
I think they'd definitely make the playoffs.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, they'd make the playoffs.
Actually, let's take a look here. Maybe we should do like who's at what position. So who do we have a point guard here?
I'd say the primary ball handler would either be James Harden or Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons. Okay, I'm definitely putting Ben at one.
Ben would, because Ben can't shoot.
Yeah.
So, if he's not handling the ball, then...
Ben, this is two episodes in a row now that we've commented on your shooting. I feel like maybe this is a
Did
a
you
sign.
Know that Zion Williams, in his first game, scored 4 3-pointers, which is actually more three-pointers than Ben Simmons has made in his entire career thus far.
Rah! In your face, Ben!
Yo, he's coming for you.
Please fix your shooting.
Ben's at one. We got Ben at the one, yep. And then James Harden at the two.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Griffin would either be at the three or the four.
I want to see him at point power forward.
Yeah, but then where do you put Lamar Odom?
Lamar Odom, power forward. Blake Griffin will do the three. He'll be the small forward.
Yep.
And then center.
Center would have to be Chris Humphries or Tristan.
I like Tristan.
The problem with this team is there's a lot of redundancies, right?
There are.
The most versatile player on this team is Lamar Odom.
Lamar Odom.
No question. Yeah. But then you have people like Blake Griffin, Ben Simmons, James Harden, who need the ball
in
their hands.
They're very ball dominant.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The only guy that might be smart off ball is maybe Fox. Clarkson has resigned himself to a lot of I don't want to say spot up shooter roles, but you pass him the ball, he'll pop a shot.
I think Clarkson is probably the worst player on this team.
Yeah, and that's no offense to Clarkson at all. This is just a good team.
Yeah, this is a very good team.
This is the good team.
Yeah. I think there'd be chemistry issues.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Who you got then? Harden and Odom would probably butt heads. Also,
I think there would be clashes between Griffin, Simmons, and Harden.
Yeah.
As to who would be the primary ball handler. Who's the face of this team?
Ball handler wise?
No, just period.
Oh, the face of the team.
James Harden's
probably the face of the team. But I like that he doesn't comment much on what's happening on his teams. We don't really see him too much in the media. And when he does say something, he's usually very, very short. So maybe he wouldn't be as hot-headed in the forefront as some of the other players here.
Yeah. I just see redundant skill sets.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And Ben Simmons, if he's not the primary ball handler, he's not going to do much offensively.
Yeah.
He's great defensively. He can get in the paint, but he's clearly reluctant to shoot. And the kind of way James Harden plays, he drives and kicks. So if you're going to drive and kick to Ben Simmons, he's not going to make your shots.
Although, to be fair, there are redundancies. You're totally right. I kind of see a team that that'll space out the floor really well. And then, we got... obviously pass the ball out to Harden, he can shoot his threes, but you have a triple threat of players that can drive really well, and once they get in it's pretty much over. So I feel like maybe that would stretch out the floor a little bit. People might be a little wary of them. And defensively they're actually not bad.
They're not bad defensively.
Yeah, defensively they're not bad. This is honestly a solid team.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid team. Again, I think they'd make the playoffs, but they wouldn't win a championship.
They need someone to shoot threes besides Harden, though.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So, in this modern day and age of the NBA, who on this team is really a good three-point shooter?
Was Rick Fox a good three-point shooter?
No.
No, he wasn't? No. Okay.
So, we got James Harden.
Yeah.
I guess Chandler Parsons and, I guess, Jordan Clarkson.
Clarkson's not bad at three.
But they don't have enough three-point shooting power to, go against, the top other teams in the league right now. Yeah.
So I guess maybe they would have to kind of concentrate on maybe slowing the game down a little bit.
It would have to be more of a half-court offense.
Yeah, grinding it out a little bit. Yeah. So what kind of coach do you think you would use to wrangle this team in?
I mean, that's a good word, wrangle, because there's going to be a lot of wrangling.
Wrangling, let's be honest.
the media circus, the personalities.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's got to be one of like Phil Jackson.
Yeah, I would say I was gonna say Phil Jackson definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you could manage Kobe and Shaq,
you could do anything.
Yeah, and them in their prime.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And plus, obviously, the LA market, which is like a hotbed for all this shit.
I like that. I like the word hotbed.
You know what I'm saying?
Implying a lot of fornication.
Fornication, debauchery.
Drugs?
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Sins. I think it's either Phil Jackson or Pat Riley. Pat Riley also coached the Lakers.
Pat Riley would be a good coach.
Yeah, man. He also looks like a cocaine dealer, so like he'd fit
he
right
does.
In.
He does. He looks like a bad you guy know? In like
yeah,
a Marvel 100%. Movie.
He definitely looks like he would like steal your bitch.
Yeah. Or like... what?
Problematic.
So okay, so that's pretty good. That's a good coach. I feel like that's a good call. Would they win a championship? I don't think so. Playoff? Yeah.
First like round, second round exit.
Yeah, if they get lucky, second round.
Like if you look at the past few championships, like does this team of Blake Griffin, Ben Simmons, Chandler Parsons, Harden, Clarkson, McCants, Thompson, Odom, etc. Does that beat the Raptors of last year?
No. No bias, but
no way.
No.
And do they beat any of the Golden State teams from the past few years?
No.
Hell no.
Hell no.
No way. No way. And they don't beat Cleveland.
They don't beat Cleveland. They don't beat the Bucks.
2016? 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't beat Philly. Because Philly has...
I think they could...
You think it'd be... I feel like they have what Philly has, but Philly had shooting last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this team has a serious lack of shooting. And I think in this modern day and age of the NBA, like, that's going to come back to, like, bite them in the ass.
You could definitely starve them out. Like, a good coach would be able to starve out their offense. Yeah. And then just... But, yeah, their defense is a problem. But, yeah, you need threes. It really sucks.
100%. Yeah. How many wins would this team have in the regular season? I think it's a 50-point team. Or 50-win team.
50 wins, eh?
Yeah, at least 50 wins.
Interesting.
Minimum 50 points.
I'll go with 50.
I think they're going to win like around 50 games.
Yeah.
But I see them as being like a first or second round exit.
Yeah, and I see them slowing down for the year too. Like they'll purposely like do the bare minimum to get into the playoffs. I feel like they would turn it up in the playoffs. They do have some, they got some ex-champions in here.
Yeah, I think the main thing is a team, this squad wouldn't be like well-balanced.
It wouldn't be.
Lack of shooting.
Yeah.
And they get exposed defensively. Like, they have some good pieces, I guess.
Yep.
But by and large, I think, yeah.
Okay, I'm having a good Friday, so I refuse to talk about the Kardashians today. You are on your own, Amy. I can't do it. I've had enough Kardashians. I can't take any more Kardashian stories on this show.
Yeah, so that's kind of wraps it up for the Kardashian team. So I think that maybe we could talk about the weed cafe closures that have been happening in Toronto recently for the past year or so. The back and forth, closing down, reopening again. Do you have some points about this? You want to start on that, Trevor?
Yeah, so, I mean, for those who are uninitiated, we're referring to the cafe retail cannabis stores across Toronto. I believe there are like 5 or so locations.
Mm-hmm. Which I just found out, by the way, cafe stands for Cannabis and Fine Edibles.
Yeah, that's a pretty, pretty good name, actually.
Yo, cafe, if you want to sponsor us, just let us know.
Yeah, send that loot.
Send that loot.
Give me the loot.
Sign the check, Argo.
It was started by 2 childhood friends, one of which is named John Galvano and the other is Wesley Weber. Mm. They grew up in the Windsor area.
Why do they sound like villain characters?
Because they are villains. These guys are mad.
Wesley Weber, John Galvano.
But the heart of the issue here is essentially these retail operations have been operating illegally.
Mm. You don't say.
Yeah. So, and... I swear to high, I'm not God.
Nice.
So what's been happening is the Toronto police have been putting cement blocks to literally prevent people from entering into these stores. Mm. And I find that extremely funny.
You've definitely seen them around the city. If you live in the city, you've seen a couple places.
There's the one on Harvard.
Yep.
Fort York.
There's one on St. Clair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I find it really funny. Like, there's not much legal recourse that the police have, apparently, and that's why, like, they can't outright shut them down.
Yeah.
And so they have to, like, resort to putting these cinder blocks in front of these retail stores.
Yeah.
Which is so funny to me.
I feel like that's a lot of effort. Is there really no other way to keep these guys from reopening?
I think they operate in some kind of, like, legal, like, some loophole where essentially, like, some of these storefronts are also, like, listed as residences.
Interesting.
And so you can't like shut them down because people also live above the buildings. So there's some kind of like legal loophole that they're exploiting.
Mm. That happened one time, right? Apparently there was someone living in the basement or something, and then they called the police after they got locked in, and apparently had to call the same people that put the cinder blocks there to remove the cinder blocks. They did it like three times in a day. Apparently it cost them like $300,000 for that little, the little interaction of putting blocks down, taking them away, putting them down again.
Like, you'd think that, you know, the Toronto police would have better things to do with their time than trying to shut these, like, these stores down, right?
I get it. It's illegal, and the Canadian government's probably a little bit butthurt about, you know, losing out on a lot of money, but I'm not going to lie. I mean, as a cannabis user and someone who's probably been to this place before, cannot confirm or deny, I say probably, but hey, I'm sorry. If you want to sell to the people, have good product. And unfortunately, the OCS and any of these like officially retail stores, they have terrible product. A lot of people have said the stuff is dry when it comes out of the jars, and the packaging dates are like months apart. And I don't know if you tried to store your weed in any kind of canister or a jar that isn't properly meant for it, but like, that shit gets dry after like a week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to open it up after 9 months and expect something good to be there. And I'm sorry, but good product sells well. And if the prices are decent, which they seem to be, I'm not mad at them. But I also get it. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And like, I feel like Cafe is following the kind of trend of a lot of these recent startups. And I'm not comparing them to any of these startups, but there's the general idea of like disrupting these established systems.
Disruption.
Yeah.
Does like, it scale?
The fucking the big buzzword nowadays.
Yeah.
We're going to disrupt cannabis. you know, in the mold of companies like Uber, Airbnb, who have basically skirted these regulations and just kind of operated.
Skirt, skirt. What were we saying?
But yeah, so essentially these guys have been just, you know, exploiting these legal loopholes and just operating, and the government can't really shut them down for whatever reason. And it's kind of this weird game of like Benihana cat and mouse.
It really
is. It's really funny.
Yeah.
But there's layers to this. So there's layers to this shit.
So you're saying that you did a little bit of research there?
Not practice, though, preparation.
Well, let's unpeel this onion then.
So essentially, in order to sell, to have a retail marijuana operation in Ontario, you have to be approved by the government.
I'm listening.
There are actually quite a number of approved facilities across Ontario, and namely in Toronto, there's like five or six of them that have been fully, you know, legalized, certified, whatever you want, by the government. And there are many, many other facilities which are in the process of getting their certifications.
Mm.
And
how many are there officially open in Toronto right now? Like five or something like that?
I think five or six.
Okay.
And the biggest one that everyone knows is Honeypot on Queen.
Honeypot on Queen. There's one called Nova also on Queen.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, so if you want to buy weed online,
mm-hmm.
then you have to go through OCS.
Yeah.
But if you want to buy it in person, then it has to be through an authorized dealer that has been stated as such by the Ontario government.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, the owners of Cafe, John Galvano and Wesley Weber, for whatever reason, have chosen not to pursue that route and be formally approved by the government.
Hmm.
And I have a few theories there as to why they may not do that, or as to why, if they have already, why it may not have been approved.
Okay.
Both of these two individuals actually have kind of like a sordid criminal past.
And that's what I heard, yeah.
Not trying to cast any judgment. Like, it is what it is. Like, a lot of us have been through different things in life. Like, it's whatever, right? But I think that might be holding them back. Like, if you're the government, you know, do you want to approve these people who have had, like, whatever happened in their past for this?
Some weed charges.
Well, the one guy, John Galvano, he's an interesting character.
Mm.
So I was on his Instagram. It's pretty funny. His handle is John_Bilzeri_ain't. So you know Bilzerian. They're Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah.
So he's literally trying to be Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah, he kind of looks like him too.
Broke back the Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah.
Basically.
Did you say broke back?
Yeah. Is that applicable?
No, Brokeback is about the two gay cowboys.
Not
judging if that is what's happening. Yeah,
I mean, no. He's a poor man's Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah.
And his handle, or his summary literally reads, "I ain't as rich, I ain't as good looking, and I ain't as famous as Dan Bilzerian, but I'm trying, smiley faced, based out of Toronto, but live everywhere. parentheses.
Yo.
That's his little comment on
Not mad.
Hey, you know, do you, man.
Get your shit. It's all good.
So he has passed criminal charges for growing weed, which is whatever, man. Like, who gives
a
shit?
A lot of people have that.
Yeah. But his partner, Wesley Weber, and again, I think I mentioned earlier, these guys are childhood friends.
Okay, just before we continue, just by the names, I already have a feeling which one's like the brains and which one's like the brawn of the operation. You know what I mean? It's like a comic book duo. You always have to have two.
Yeah, yeah.
This Wesley guy.
100%.
Sounds like he's the brains.
So this guy has actually kind of like some crazy past history of like doing some shady shit. His rap sheet includes convictions for forgery, fraud, cultivating marijuana.
Huh.
And the main thing here is the counterfeiting. You know what I mean? Oh, this guy's he's been about that life. And actually, in the early 2000s, he and a bunch of his friends became so good at counterfeiting $100 bills that they are cited as among the reasons why a lot of these storefronts around the city began to actually check for the validity of these bills. So when you go to a store and the clerk like takes the bill and puts it in the light, and they look at it. These guys became so good at counterfeiting that, you know, they kind of sparked that amongst all these various shop owners.
Interesting.
So I think part of that is why they may not be actually getting approved by the Canadian government or the Ontario government.
Oh, so you're saying that they did this as a response to not getting approval? Or
I mean, I don't know exactly, I could imagine like if they applied and they may have been rejected because of their past history.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just like, yo, fuck it.
So maybe you know what? Maybe it's possible that they kind of understood what was going to happen. They understood the process, and they saw difficulties in the future, so they went this route. Which honestly, dude, it's really smart.
Yeah,
it's incredibly smart.
And like I don't know the exact parameters, but it looks like they legally can't be shut down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And these guys make so much money.
Yeah. I know for a fact that they probably sell like 15, 20 pounds a day in all their locations combined. And that's just like physical dry leaf. I can't imagine what they're selling in edibles and vapes and all that stuff and oils.
They're making stupid money.
Yeah.
Stupid money.
So much so that they can restock after they get shut down every time. In like 20, 30 minutes, they can apparently have all their product back from other places and bring it back there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I got to say, like, if you've ever been on their Instagram account or seen what their branding looks like, that shit's... like it's clean. It's clean.
They're doing very good job.
I think it would make a fascinating business case study for, you know, students in economics or in business school, like to study this and the characters involved and the legality and the amount of money that it takes, the kind of operation they're running. This is supremely fascinating. And this is Canada.
Yeah, man.
This is Toronto. It sounds like something that happened in like Florida or LA or some shit.
Like, you gotta respect the hustle.
I do. I do respect the shit out of the hustle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But fact remains. I think one shop was closed up like a few weeks ago, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how this will all end up.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, like the city is just sinking so much cash into this.
Absolutely.
Right. How much longer are you going to do that? Furthermore, is there really no legal recourse? Like, I don't fully understand like exactly what's happening.
So.
Here.
I have a wild theory, and it might be a little bit silly, but I think what's happening is that they're raiding these spots, and they're looking for something, but I don't think it's physically... It could be the products they're looking for. Number two, I think what's more important is that they're looking for laptops. They're looking for files. They're looking for data.
Something incriminating.
Not just incriminating, but like you think about... So I guess government outlets for cannabis... because everyone knows data is like king right now, right? People pay for information. People
data driven.
Companies say that they got quote unquote hacked, but really they had a secret under the table dealing with somebody else that wants to buy their information. I feel like what's happening is that they're looking for obviously the product because number one, you get market research done just by confiscating the product that they have. You know exactly what products sell because there's like a surplus of brands out there, right? If you raid these stores. Boom, market research is done. You know exactly what items are good to sell, which ones are potent, which ones are popular. And then if you get a laptop, let's say you get a laptop with like files and data information, that's data that you can use to improve your own product. And I feel like this happens over and over again because they're like, we didn't quite get what we wanted last time. They might be taking the laptops away, like the people that run the stores, they might be taking the laptops home with them. On purpose.
Well, that's a pretty wild theory, bro.
That's just me. This is my weird conspiracy brain working.
The government's trying to do some market research by trying to
legitimately, because let's be honest, like I don't feel like the government is very good at this right now. It's still pretty early in Canada and Toronto, they're really bad at it, man.
Yeah, like OCS.
Their stores, their OCS, their official outlets, they're terrible at it. They're so expensive. The process is just frustrating.
There's one thing I want to mention.
Yeah.
I find it really funny
yeah.
how there are a lot of old white men who are profiting off the sale of marijuana. And these are the same people who, you know, years ago cast such a judgmental eye on the sale, use, and everything just related to marijuana.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, well, maybe not these two guys, because they've clearly been about the life, right? But they're all across the business landscape. There's all these people who are now entering the cannabis market. And these are all people who would have looked at you with such, like, disdain and just looked at you like, oh, look at this fucking waste man smoking weed.
Pothead.
Right? Yeah, and, like, the biggest example is, I'm not sure if you know this, but the former police chief of Toronto, Julian Fantino.
Ooh.
He is actually the head of a marijuana company called Aleafia Health. He is the executive chairman.
No way.
Yes. And he was the police chief in Toronto from 2000 to 2005. And he was also the police chief in a number of other municipalities across Southern Ontario.
Yeah.
And he was a very vocal...
I do remember his name. I do remember him talking,
He was very vocally opposed to the legalization of marijuana. Mm. And there are a number of quotes as early as 2015 from Julian Fantino. One I can give you right now states it so bluntly. On October 16th, 2015, Julian Fantino, "I am completely opposed to the legalization of marijuana." And now he is the executive chairman of Aleafia Health, which is a company that specializes in cultivation and distribution of marijuana and marijuana products. Now, you can, like, the hypocrisy in all this.
Yep.
For someone of this person's stature, who literally spent the majority of his career putting people behind bars for smoking weed, is now the executive chairman of this company. I don't know, man. It rubs me the wrong way.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
And Fantino, he was a former retired police official, former politician.
Saying he has a change of heart.
Conservative Party of Canada, former member of Parliament, until his defeat in 2015. When did you say he became? Do we have record of when he became executive on this?
Sometime in the last few years.
Okay.
But as early as 2015, he was on record as saying, "I am completely opposed to the legalization of marijuana." Someone's definitely paying him.
Which should drive home the lesson that it doesn't matter what color your skin is or what party you really belong to. The only color that really matters is green. And it's money.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not talking about weed. Although, in this case,
it works at multiple levels.
It works, yeah. So, Julian, what
do you think? I just think it's fucking bullshit, like, straight up.
Yeah.
100%. And, I mean, this is just one example, but across the board, there are all these business people who probably never smoked weed a day in their life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who are
now, I'm really impressed by your research, by the way. I just want to put it out there.
I'm out here.
People say that we're just joking around. We're just a bunch of silly guys.
Nah, man.
Next to some microphones. We're serious.
We're some fun guys. We're serious. We like to party. You know what I mean? Talk about the real topics.
We're like a mullet, but on a podcast.
A podcast mullet?
Yeah. It's like...
What?
It's like serious in the front, party in the back.
Oh,
business in the front, party in the back. Isn't that how it goes for
here.
Mullets?
Leave. All
right, go home. Sorry.
But yeah, so...
Thanks for listening to this second episode of the No Practice Podcast. Just a little sneak peek into next week. We got planned. We're going to be talking about the bench mob on the Raptors because I feel like they definitely don't get enough attention. We're going to be talking about the Rookie of the Year race, current standings in the East and the West. Some surprises in terms of players. Zion's amazing first game, 17 points in a row. And, of course, we're going to talk about my man, Ja Morant. A little bit about Giannis, Luka, LeBron. That's pretty much it. Thank you for listening to the No Practice Podcast. It's been great. Hopefully you had a good time. We'll see you next episode.
Let's go.
Peace.